New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Direct from the Broski Nation headquarters in Los Angeles, California, this is the Broski Report with your host, Brittany Broski.
I think I'm gonna die in this house. I think I'm gonna die in this house.
Guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the first, maybe half, maybe second episode of the Broski Report in 2026, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Red Bull flavor of the day, tropical. Now, what is in this? Yellow. What makes up a tropical drink? Yellow, green, orange, mango. Now, none of this is of the earth. None of this is of God. None of this is honoring the body. The body is the temple. My temple has been ransacked and destroyed. Every Red Bull I drink, I literally think of it like a cigarette, like how the ash comes off the end of a cigarette. And it's like, what, you just blow it in the wind, okay? Every Red Bull I drink, a little piece of my heart breaks off and, like, it's just ash through the chunnel of my body. Chunnel. Now, that's actually going to be channel and tunnel. Chunnel. Welcome back to the Broski Report. Today, I have news. And I'm not sure what the news is because my manager just called me and left me a very cryptic message that said you're going to... And I'm kind of freaking out and I'm trying to hide it in. That was just my DoorDash driver talking to me right now. It's okay. I got a call from my manager and she said, you're going to get a call in the next like hour and a half, 2 hours. And I can't tell you who it is, but just like be ready and be excited. And I was like, that could mean anything. Like the range and scope of what that could entail is like, who knows? Like, is Oscar Isaac going to give me a call on my cell phone? Like, that could literally mean anything. I don't know. Who's the flavor of the week? Guys, can I just address something off the bat? Okay, well, first of all, that's it. So if I get a call and there's like a weird jump cut, that's why. Second of all, I have heard you. Please, please. I've heard the heated rivalry requests. Noted. Okay, received. Thank you. Message received. Working on it. All I can say, working on it, stay tuned, okay? And let me tell you something, he is charming. He is charming the pants off of Hollywood. Let me tell you something right now. That is a man, that's a charmer, okay? Let the boy work. He's working a room. Yeah, heard, okay? You don't need to keep commenting it on every single thing that I post. Every single thing that I post. Every single thing. Who does that sound like? Tigger? Tigger from Winnie the Pooh? Our tickers are the special thing to do. Guys, what the fuck energy is in the air today? Hey, hey. Also, sorry for the late upload. Yesterday, I filmed a whole episode. Like, what have I been up to? Like, the last month? Wow, the new year? Like, manifesto? Da-da-da-da-da. Drives busted. Yeah. The drives are gone. So, this is 2.0, and I'm zooming, waiting for you on the corner of your street, and I'm not moving, yeah. Bring back Train. Where is Train? Are they problematic? Are Train Republicans? Are Train Republicans right now? Are they doing right-wing Republican right now? Can someone let me know? Thank you. Get back to me on that. Guys, raise your hand. Everyone, take a moment. Pause. Broski Nation, pause. Lock in with me right now. Raise your hand if you've had diarrhea in the past week. Okay. Now, in my mind's eye, I'm imagining the majority of you just raised your hand. 2026, I'm prescribing you guys something, okay? I'm a doctor. I'm an MD. I'm a DMS. DMS. Is that what I think it is? Doctor of Medical Service. What's DMT? When you're a dentist, what is that? DDS. DDS. DDS meaning Doctor of Dental Surgery. Yeah. Okay, I'm that too. DMT. Now that's a drug. I'm pretty sure. And what, can I say something? When I was younger, I thought TNT was going to be a much bigger problem than it actually ended up being. I thought there was going to be TNT everywhere. Like, do not fuck with the TNT. If you're smoking a cigarette, do not do it around the TNT. Everyone knows this. If you're in quicksand, don't try to get out. It'll eat you alive faster. Okay. Now the Bermuda Triangle, again, that's another one, a big issue for us as kids. Haven't really heard much about it. Okay. Outside of the average conspiracy theory. TNT, never seen it in person. Don't even know if it's like an old miner, like a coal miner in an old abandoned coal mine, like with TNT. I thought that would be a fixture in my life more than it is. Anyone else relate to that? Okay. Guys, your gut health. We need to talk about it. Stop having... You met me at a very diarrhea-centric time in my life. You met me at a very liquid shit time in my life. And I'm over that. And I'm not who I was when I was having diarrhea. And I'm sorry for who I presented as, you know, who fronted. And we're going to get some probiotics going for you guys. Me with my doctor of dental surgery. What I can prescribe to you right now is probiotics. That's really actually helped me having diarrhea. Because, you know, I don't have a gallbladder. We know I don't have a gallbladder. I can't shut up about it. I'm missing an organ. Hi, Aria. I'm Brittany. I'm missing an organ. Guys, probiotics. It's the future. It's the truth. It's the light. It's really helped me. I can't, again, I am a doctor of dental surgery. I'm not a doctor of gut health. DGH. I'm not a DGH. And I'm not a DDLG. Dom dentist little gut. Dom dentist little gut health. Intestine. Small intestine. Okay. Gonna finish this yellow Red Bull and then we're gonna get into business. How long have I been talking for 6 minutes about what? Okay. I'm thank you guys for paying attention and I'm gonna get into it right here. Holy shit. Happy New Year. And with that also comes the B-side of that, which is fuck ICE. Fuck ICE and fuck Donald Trump and all of the above. It's so sickening to like log onto the internet every day and see some new atrocity and see how our government is literally crumbling. A fascist regime has completely taken over. No regard above international law, I guess. It's infuriating. So that's just kind of like off the bat, fuck ICE. And like, it's harrowing to think that this is like really the reality we live in. But on the flip side, I always want to lead with a message of hope that it can be changed and that there are things to be done. As always, I know it seems cliche, but I have links in my description for organizations that I believe in and organizations that I think do good work. So check those out if you feel so inclined. Now, moving on to the third thing that I want to talk about. I have been traveling for like the last month straight, and I did a lot, and I feel like we need to dissect a lot. I went to Dublin. No, sorry, I went to London, and we filmed a Royal Court episode that is very exciting. We're doing this like Royal Court abroad thing now, which is like we have a system now. So when we are called over there or when an opportunity presents itself, we're prepared and we go and I have a whole London-based crew and we fly out there with all the props and all the capes and we do it. And that's what we did for the Paul Mescal episode. And we just did it for this one we filmed and it was, I think you guys are going to love it. It is about a lead of a show that I hyperfixated on about a year ago. And I'm sure you can guess, like everyone's kind of anticipating this new season of this show, this very famous show. And we interviewed the leads. I'm so excited. And they were a joy and it was a privilege to do it. So be looking out for that in February. And what else did we do? In London, I flew to New York after that. And I did Recess Therapy with Julian, which should be out today, I believe, Wednesday. I love that man. I love that man. And he has such a way with like commanding a room and taming these feral children. Don't know how he does it. Also, wow, to be in the mind of a child. Just like these kids today, man, where's the whimsy? I came in there and they're like, what's your topic you want to talk about? And I was like, oh, obviously magic and fairies. And I like how they're real. Duh, because they're kids. And also they are real. And we sit there and we're talking and the kids are like, I obviously don't believe in fairies because they're not real. Unicorns are not real. And I was like, you're six. Hey, you're six. Maybe you should believe in fairies for like, try it out, like try it on for size and then become a cynic. Who are these kids are like reading Camus. These kids are reading Kafka. I'm not getting it. Like, why are you familiar with Lovecraftian horror? You should be believing in fairies. Anyway, that was fun sitting next to these kids being like,
that's obviously not real.
And I'm like, how do you know? Okay, how do you know? Who told you that? Anyway, recess therapy was fun. I also did a little offshoot of Hot Ones called Heat Eaters. I would like to say something into the mic publicly. They're not acting on Hot Ones. I believe that Sean Evans is a genetic anomaly. He should not exist in this, like, in this timeline specifically. Something is, I won't say wrong with Sean Evans, but he might be the most advanced of us. You know, like, yes, there's the Olympians and there's like the long distance runners and there's, you know, people who are agile of body and mind. We've got some of the greatest like thinkers and philosophers and scientists working today. Yeah, sure, don't care. Sean Evans, the way that man can put back spicy chicken, he is an angel among us. Among us potion, the 3 a.m. among us potion. Sean Evans needs to be studied. I did Heat Eaters. And that shit, like, you know, they're using pepper X and cayenne pepper this and ghost pepper that. Okay, like, those are the hottest peppers in the world. But it's used in an artful way where I'm like, okay, I guess it enhances the flavor to a certain extent. But it gets to a point. It gets to a point where it is full-on masochism. You bitches are masochistic. Why am I doing BDSM with this spicy gumbo? Like, I feel like I'm in bondage and I've got one of those, like, leather chokers around my neck. Like a dom leather daddy. Like a bear in, like, leather bondage. Gay club! Like, what the fuck? That's how I felt eating this spicy gumbo that she had made for me. I was like, what the fuck kind of freak shit is this? I'm doing puppy play of the mouth. I felt so, like, oh my God, this is not for me. And it was so, you know what sucks? Is it so delicious? It's very delicious. And they do it based on your life. Like, this show is actually so amazing. Esther, the host, is so good. The questions, the bits, all of it was good. The food was great. It's just like, why is it that spicy? Why is it that spicy? It got to a point, we wrapped, okay? And they're, oh, yeah, you did so well, yeah. And I'm like, oh, uh-huh. It's that, like, ringing. I have, like, tinnitus in my ears, and my eyes won't stop blinking, and, like, everything's a bit damp. I'm, like, vaguely wet everywhere because I'm sweating, but it's, like, a cold chill. And everyone's like, Brittany, Brittany, over here. We're going to do a thumbnail. We're going to do a TikTok. We're going to do a break. And I'm like, like, I can't take a full breath because it's supposed to, and I literally go, I need a second. And my publicist comes over, and she's like, are you good? And I was like, I need a second. And I went to the bathroom, and I was, like, leaning on the door like this, taking deep breaths. I literally turned on the cold water, and I was just running my hands under cold water to distract me. Bitch, it was that serious. And also, was that the only thing I had to eat all day? Yeah. And also, after that, did I go to the Marty Supreme premiere? Yeah, I did. And did I have liquid diarrhea at the Marty Supreme premiere? Maybe. That's actually not to be disclosed at this time. Okay? A24, if I did, no, I did not. Okay, so I would actually never do that. You met me at a very Pepper X time in my life. Like, truly, but I don't think it, my system took a screenshot. It was a lot. But that was fun. The whole experience, I guess, was fun. But at the end, I was like, oh my God. It felt like a war documentary. Okay. Then after that, I did Caleb's podcast. Now, of course, Caleb is an angel walking on this earth. Angel that also terrorizes me. I feel very terrorized by Caleb Heron. You know, we have a very tumultuous, very sexual relationship, as you guys know. And it's like seeing an old fling. You know, it's like, oh, get over here. What are we doing? We can't do this. Very me and Caleb. After we filmed his podcast, the 100th episode, by the way, if you guys didn't know, 100 episodes of So True starring Caleb Heron. He's an incredible host. He's an incredible talent. I'm so lucky to know him. I'm better for having known him. He challenges me as a friend should in all the best ways. And so after, you know, like to celebrate, we were like, let's go get dinner. Okay. Naturally, we go back to his apartment. Some edibles were ingested. We go out to eat this beautiful Thai meal. And we invite the twins, my writers for Royal Court, Annabelle and Sabina. Well, Annabelle comes. And we're sitting there. And we're all kind of like violently high is what I would describe it as. And we're sitting at this restaurant. And Annabelle says something to me. And I cannot remember for the life of me what it was. But I, like, in that moment, like a That's So Raven moment, I shrunk up in my body and I was like a baby, like laughing and like slapping my applesauce on the table like I had a bib on, and I peed in my diaper. I like full on peed. So obviously the night was ruined. Obviously we had a 100 different plans we were going to do that night, go back to Annabelle's house, go back to Sabina's house, do whatever. I said, you guys actually have to pay for this meal because I have to get in a car right now and go change my diaper. Like, I have to go hose off like a fucking zoo animal because I peed on myself from laughing. What am I, postpartum? What the fuck is happening? Why do I not have control over my bowels? Is this like a normal thing? You turn 28 and it just happens? Dude, it was a lot for me. It was a lot for me in that moment where I was like, oh my God, I just peed enough in my pants to like have to go home. Now that's the risk they don't tell you about having funny friends or about being funny yourself, is like sometimes you get locked into a flow state with your funny friends, and it gets to a point like on a baseball bat when you do that shit on the baseball bat, like on the handle, and then someone has to put their hand on top. When that moment happens comedically, I pee. Okay, it's just, I just pee. And I don't know. And like, it's humbling, to say the least. So you're going to have diarrhea at the Marty Spring premiere and pee yourself at a Thai restaurant? Like, do you need a diaper? You probably should get a diaper. Fucking idiot.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny System comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny System with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
All right. After New York. Oh, my God. Also in New York, I saw the goddamn Nutcracker. I saw them nuts being cracked on stage, and many a bulge was seen. Many a bulge. Okay? God bless the New York City Ballet. Many a bulge to be seen and heralded. Now, the Nutcracker that I saw is George Balanchine's Nutcracker. Okay, now this is kind of specific, and any ballerinas, any ballet enthusiasts in the comments or viewers otherwise, correct me if I'm wrong, but Balanchine's version of the Nutcracker is a bit different. It focuses, half the cast is kids. It focuses on Clara and the Prince, or the Nutcracker, both as children. And the first act is, I guess, you know, the classic Nutcracker story. Of it's Christmas Eve and there's a big party at the house and all the kids, whatever. And then Drosselmeyer comes and brings all the kids toys and gives Clara the Nutcracker. And then her bitch ass, stupid ass little brother breaks the arm and whatever. And then she goes to sleep on the couch. And then in her dream, everything comes to life, right? So in her dream state, she gets shrunken down to the size of a mouse, of the Nutcracker. It's actually so cool how they do it. The tree grows on stage to this massive size. And it makes you, I mean, it like kept going. It was so magical and whimsical. It was so good. The tree kept growing and then all the little mice and whatever come out. So it feels like you're that tiny. And then, you know, act one is done. There's an intermission and then they go into act two where they're in the sugar plum fairy dreamland. And it's freaking awesome. That was really neat. And I feel like in the other version of the Nutcracker that I've seen, which I was like probably in middle school when I saw it. I really don't remember it. And I didn't have an appreciation for it. It's different. And in the whole second act of Balanchine's Nutcracker, it's just Clara and the prince are up on this little like dace and everyone comes and just dances for them. Yeah, would you imagine the second act of a ballet, everyone's just kind of dancing? But it was like all the different cultures and then they do like the marzipan girl and then the sugar plum fairy comes out, but she's not as big of a fixture in Balanchine's as I guess other versions, like the original Russian Nutcracker. So that was interesting. And then at the very end of act two, the kids just like get in this chariot and fly away. And then that's the end of the Nutcracker. And I was like, oh, because she and the Barbie and the Nutcracker, it's actually different because they have to defeat the Rat King. And also there's a curse on the land and then the Nutcracker's sexy. And then they, you know, kind of bounce as the Nutcracker and then whatever. And then he turns back into a prince and he's ugly. And is he sexier as the Nutcracker? Yes, he is. What are you not understanding? He's sexier as the Nutcracker. So, yeah, it was a bit different. And then I kind of like went down this rabbit hole of who Balanchine was. And he was very centric to the New York City Ballet. I think he co-founded it. And so his style is very unique. And it's a way to dance ballet that's very different from other styles. So that was cool. I really, really enjoyed it. And oh my goodness, the costumes were so pretty. And everything was very like vaguely Victorian, which of course I love. Like all the costumes were very old timey. It didn't feel, you know, modern, or they didn't try to do like some weird 1930s something or whatever. It was very, very good. But I do want to see the other version of the Nutcracker. Probably next year. I'll go when it's Nutcracker season later this year. And I'll compare notes because I feel like I've seen the iconic one. Now I want to see other iterations. And I would like to see it. My dream is to see a ballet in Paris. I really want to go to the Paris, the opera, and like see, because I love Aurélie Dupont and I love all these like really famous French ballerinas. And so I really want to go. But also the Royal Ballet and Opera in London is world famous. And then of course, eventually I'll make the pilgrimage to like Moscow and St. Petersburg and like see real Russian ballet. That shit doesn't fuck around. They don't fuck around about ballet in Russia. So, okay. So that was really, really fun. Then I flew to Houston for like 48 hours, saw my family, flew to Florida for a week, played laser tag. Let me tell you something about bonding with your family. If you have a tough dynamic, okay, maybe you and your siblings don't get along. Maybe you got in a big fight with your mom. Go hash it out in laser tag, right? Go to your local laser tag, and there's probably not that many left. You need to find a laser tag setting. You need to all get on it, because guess what? There's different games. Sometimes it's girls versus boys. Sometimes it's tag, like it really is tag. There's like a red team and a blue team, and you start out and you try, whoever, I guess, recruits the most team members wins. So if you're blue and you get shot by red, now you're red. Okay. That's fun because then you get to team up. Sometimes it was like groups of three and you got to, on my six. Okay. And of course I had a strategy because if you're going to go in and do laser tag, guess what? My dad was in the military. My brother loves that shit. My mom's just there for the vibes. And my sister's like that tribute in Hunger Games. The Fox one. Fox Face, whatever they called her? Yeah, she's like that. She'll come and she'll wait till the carnage is over, and then she'll come and she'll pick all the shit and then she'll go. She's very sneaky like that. Sierra's always been sneaky as fuck like that. Okay, so you gotta be careful. You gotta know the personalities when you're doing laser tag. And me, look, I'm an all-American soldier. Me, I'm in there, okay? I'm SEAL Team 6 in there. And so we're in laser tag. And we're kind of, you know, whatever. I've scoped the scene. I found a foxhole. This is when my World War I and you know, like Band of Brothers shit comes in. Because I know all this. Okay, so I found a foxhole. You get low. And I found, because it's separated by these like tarps. You know, like moving tarps or painting tarps. It's all that. So I got low and I positioned myself in the back corner. I found a little hole and I stuck my laser gun through that. And then I, you know, pew, 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 pew. And you don't even know that you've gotten got because I am a strategist. You're not going to get me. Did I have the lowest score out of anyone yet? Yeah, I lost. By all technical standards, I lost. But it doesn't matter because strategy. Okay. One moment we were, it was like, and you know, you get a little bit too excited and you start running. And it's like the pool. You shouldn't run. Don't run in laser tag. Well, no one told me that. At one point I got so excited and my dad was kind of chasing me and he makes these scary noises. And I was like, oh my God. And I was running. Me and my brother collided. I mean, full on like college football. The back of my head hit the top of my back. The back of my head fully like hit the top of my back. Okay. And then I fell to the ground a la Peter Griffin, like at the bottom of the stairs, like, and then he was like, oh my God, don't tell mom, don't tell mom, don't tell mom. You're okay. You're okay. Like literally that. And I was thinking, oh my God, we have to go to the hospital. And then I got up and I was like, now see, I'm the ideal laser tag player because no damage sustained. Plus boom, you're dead. Plus, oh, you feel so bad for me because you got me. Boom. Now I tagged you. And then I run away. Man, we full on, like full body collided. And my brother's like 6'4". And I'm 5'8". And I, oh, full on my back like a snow angel. Like, oh my God. Yeah, I thought I had died. But I didn't. I'm still here to tell the tale. Get into laser tag. I'm a fan of laser tag. You guys are missing out on some group bonding opportunities. Okay. Now, after that, I went to, you guessed it, Dublin, Ireland. Okay? Guys, there's not, okay. If you get it, you get it. And do I feel like a middle-aged, chubby white guy with a neck beard and a fedora who loves Japan? Yeah. That's how I feel about Ireland. Yeah, I really am that when it comes to the, I have such a deep appreciation for the culture, for the language, for the people, for the community. I think the way that Southern Americans talk to each other in terms of like, you could talk to anyone about anything. They're just kind. They want to talk, waiting in line at the grocery store or whatever. I think that that's a missing piece of Gen Z. And I think that the art of small talk is really lost on people under the age of 40 for whatever reason, you know, COVID, blame it on whatever, blame it on the rise of like Snapchat instead of texting and all that. I mean, I just, when you hide behind a screen for every social interaction, you miss out on those opportunities to hone the skill of small talk. Irish people do it so well. And it's really like lovely. So I was there and I was there with the girls, and then I like invited Drew and Caleb, thinking they're not gonna book a ticket. But how fun would it be if they came? Bitch, they came. Ah! Oh, all my favorite people in one place in my favorite city. Ah! Sure, sure. Fuck it. Everyone came. Drew, Dace, Caleb. We found this like weird ass event to go to for New Year's Eve that ended up being like a swingers party. Hey, what the fuck? And it was in this castle in the middle of nowhere. It was in County Carlo. It was just like, what are we doing? The vibe was so wretched. It was so incredibly negative that we all kind of agreed as a group, should we leave and go to just a local pub? Yeah, we should. And so we're all dressed in our nice dresses and boots. Me and Drew, because that's my twin and my sister, wore the same boots unknowingly. And so we all like go to this pub nearby. Oh my God, it was so magical. We walk in because it was cold outside. We walk in, it was all warm. It was not really that busy. There was this special little nook, this table. We all sat at it, fit all of us perfectly. We got Guinnesses and this, whatever. They had snacks, Tato, whatever. And then we all do the 10, 9, oh, do the countdown. And happy new year. Fireworks go off. Oh my God, it was magical. It was magical. God. There is a whimsy in that fucking land. I'm telling y'all. I'm telling you. And I want to go to Dingle. And I want to go to Cork. And I want to go to Dalkey. And I want to go to Dunleary. And I've been to Galway. And I've done the Cliffs of Moher. Mohair. Moor. Moor. The Cliffs of Moor. It's just magic. So, and then with my girls, like also, it was just insane. So yeah, it was magic. And it was a magical, like, opportunity to make memories with my friends. We played Jackbox, Quiplash, and Trivia Murder Party and this, like, place that Drew rented. It was just truly magical. Like, I will remember it forever. And I hope to have many more moments and trips like that in the next few years. And y'all, can I just level with you? Broski Nation, we're really doing it. Like, what? Hey, when did this become not a joke? Like, when did the bit become my job? I feel like that all the time. Like, Royal Court is, it is taken off in a way that I could have only dreamed of. And we're getting incoming requests from people that I'm like, are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? We just filmed one today that was, it was a dream. Like, it was such a dream. And I think it's going to come out in February. He's one of my favorite musicians, like, ever. And we got to talk books and philosophy and artistic references. And I'm addicted. And I can't tell you who it is because I think I have a curse when I say, oh, this person's coming on Royal Court. Something happens with the episode and we, like, don't end up putting it out. So I'm not going to say who it is. But I feel like y'all will know because I've talked about this band very recently. So I'm so excited. I love him to death. And I had him sign my copy of East of Eden. So this episode is sponsored by Shopify. 2026 is the year. The year you start your fun side hustle, transform into an entrepreneur. One powerful move puts your future firmly in your hands, starting a business with Shopify. Maybe you've got an idea you can't shake, a craft everyone tells you to sell, a store you've already designed in your head. With Shopify, 2026 is when you finally make it happen. Shopify gives you everything you need to sell online and in person. There's millions of entrepreneurs that have already made this leap, from household names to first-time business owners just getting started. Shopify gives you all the tools to easily build your dream store. Choose from hundreds of beautiful templates that you can customize to match your brand. Setup is also fast with Shopify's built-in tools that write product descriptions and headlines and help you edit product photos. Marketing is built in too. Create email and social campaigns that reach customers wherever they scroll. As you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. In 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/broski. Go to shopify.com/broski, and I'll say it one more time, shopify.com/broski. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side. This episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. It's 2026. It's the year of the horse. It's time to leave the stables and go out galloping and exploring. Which is why I want to give the sponsor of today's episode, SeatGeek, a huge shout out. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There's more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Plus, the U.S. is hosting the World Cup this year. So grab your tickets now. So many artists have already released tickets for their 2026 tours, like Rosalia, I will be in attendance. Zara Larsson, I will also be in attendance. Lady Gaga, Cardi B, Chris Stapleton, Demi Lovato, The Backstreet Boys, and more. I love using SeatGeek. I saw Mumford & Sons twice last year, and it's just magical. Every single show of theirs, I'll never forget it. SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know you're getting a good deal. Look for the green dots. Green means good, red means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. The new year means new artists are on tour. To make it even better, you can use code BROSKI2026 for 10% off your SeatGeek tickets. That's 10% off tickets with promo code BROSKI2026. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thanks, SeatGeek! Okay, here's some things. Let's get into that's my updates. Let's get into the section of the shit that I'm on. The shit I'm on for real right now. What I've been loving, what I've been eating up. Over the last month, I finished 4 books. Everyone clap. Guys, stop. Stop. I read 4 books. I kind of want to start there. And then at the end, I'll talk about some channels that I'm loving on YouTube. Book club. Let's start now. By the way, I know I keep teasing this, but I'm just getting a temperature check. If we do, let's say, I don't know, a merch drop. That is book-centric. That is maybe a bit gothic. And maybe Victorian and like dark academia. Would you guys be rocking with that? Let me know. Broski Nation, you guys let me know. And but can I just also, before I get into the book club, thanks for watching. You guys could watch anything. You guys, your attention is something that I do not take for granted. Like, whatever you get out of this podcast, whatever you see in me, whatever this parasocial link is between us, it is tangible and it is not taken for granted. And I just want you guys to know that. But like, I don't, that this doesn't exist without you and you tuning in and you like engaging and creating a community. And I just want to do the best I can by you guys. So, not to be earnest, but let me be earnest. Uh-oh, the earnest bug just bit me. Uh-oh, the earnest bug is under my skin and I'm itching and I'm fucking. So, let's do book club. I finished first Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Duh, I've been talking about this book for forever. It was a very short read. It was so good. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you've heard about it, I'm sure plenty. I think that it gets this incorrect connotation or, I guess, summary of schizophrenia, which is a very serious diagnosis. And this book is not about schizophrenia. It's about good versus evil. And I think I went into it with this understanding of like, oh, it's going to be like the movie Split or whatever. No. And it was such an interesting angle on the concept of human nature. And are we inclined towards evil or are we altruistically inclined? And the answer is radically both. We are evil creatures with a tendency to do good, or we are good creatures with a very strong pull to do evil things. And wow, the way that this book dissects that, the way this book explores it in this almost science fiction way, really, really good. A very short read. It chugs along. You know, the narrator is good. And there's a letter at the end that is very, you know, almost like a how he done it kind of thing. Oh my God. Really enjoyed that. I think I gave it four stars. Next, I read Carmilla. Carmilla, I've been talking about for a long time as well. Carmilla actually predates Bram Stoker's Dracula by about 25 years, give or take. And it is a sapphic vampire novel, meaning gay, meaning lesbian. It was amazing. I really enjoyed it. And I think also for a... Carmilla didn't kickstart the genre, but it definitely inspired Dracula. And I mean, Bram Stoker said that. Like, it heavily inspired. In fact, you can even take parallels from how the women are written to how the story chugs along. I'm very glad I read it because I have this understanding now of the history of the, I guess, vampire novel, the vampire story. And the first ever, like, popularized vampire book is actually called The Vampire, spelled with a Y. I can't remember who it's by, but that was, like, 1816. And then Carmilla is, like, 1870s, and then Bram Stoker's Dracula is about 1890s. So, I mean, just a great history there, and to see how it's evolved. And then even, like, coming into Twilight, you know, into the modern age, and then Nosferatu, and like all these interpretations. I love also we're in the era of the monster. I talked about this probably a few months ago of how much I loved Frankenstein, how much Nosferatu really kicked off the gothic shit for me, because it's always been there, maybe simmering under the surface. I've always been drawn to old-timey things and the embellishments and attention to detail and the beauty of Victorian things, even though the Victorians were fucking rotted. The care that went into making the things we look at every day beautiful. I just watched this whole documentary on like lampposts, just about lampposts, actually. And how everything in the modern, like, I don't know if it was millennials that kind of kicked off this gray minimalism. But oh my God, I think in this era of overexposure and AI and just people are sick of it, we are going back to analog. We're going back to beauty for beauty's sake. There's a return to design and making things unique and extraordinary, because that's what humans do. You know, we make beautiful things and we appreciate beautiful things. So that was interesting. And it's, I guess, related to Carmilla because it's super gothic and the way that everything's just, you know, the concept of a haunted castle and whatever. So I read Carmilla. I actually gave Carmilla about 3.5 stars just because it's very simple. I didn't really appreciate at the end. It was also this kind of like, and here's how I did it. Whatever. I mean, it was written in the 1870s. I guess that was like gag back then. But I did give it 3.5 instead of 4 for that. Because I was like, I wish there was more mystery surrounding it. But the end really picks up. 3.5. Then I read, what did I read? The Yellow Wallpaper, another short story. This is by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. Remember how I said I've been addicted to the theme of female madness and how dismissed women are throughout history, even in the modern era? When you talk about hysteria, a hysterical woman, a manic woman, a woman who suffers from melancholy, all of these old-timey terms for a woman who is depressed, anxious, ignored, dismissed, told she's crazy. Oh my God, this idea of like, she's crazy, my ex is crazy, the crazy bitch. Like, I could write an essay on how that is almost this umbrella term for women have such complexities within them that men are too simple of creatures to understand. They're too simple. Everything is very black and white. And I feel like with women, there's just a whole universe in all of us that is so specific and it's so misunderstood. And that, how it links to female madness, is kind of touched on in The Yellow Wallpaper. The Yellow Wallpaper is an interesting story because it's about a woman who is a mother who's married to a physician. And the physician, which is also an interesting dynamic, right? If you have a wife coming to her husband being like, I feel sick, not of body, but of spirit and mind. And the physician only being educated and instructed in how to cure ailments of the body, that's not his milieu. That's not his, you know, expertise. But because he's a man and because he's a husband, he's going to exert his will and his quote unquote expertise on his wife. She doesn't really have a choice because this was the early 1900s, late 1890s. So it's just, you know, power dynamics versus gender dynamics versus gender roles versus mental health versus, you know, lack of communication and belief and understanding between a man and a woman. All of this is explored in The Yellow Wallpaper. It's a very easy read. Like, you should read it. And the setting is it's described very well. It's about a woman who moves into this old house. And they move into the top floor. And it's clear that this room used to be like a children's room. It's very wide and, you know, there's windows everywhere and there's this yellow wallpaper on the walls. It's been torn off in places and all around the bed frame it's been scratched off. And it's kind of just like, oh, this house is dilapidated. Is that the word I'm thinking of? Dilapidated, in a state of disrepair or ruin as a result of age or neglect. Amazing. It's all dilapidated and it's very basic furniture in the room, just the bed, maybe some chairs. Well, she's sick. You know, she's maybe a bit drowsy and weak, and she's exhausted, like fatigue of the mind. And I think it probably, like reading this, it's so interesting because I'm not a psychologist, but I'm sitting here reading it like, oh, she probably has postpartum depression. You know, like she just had a kid, but she's kind of unable to give the child her full attention because she's suffering. Like something emotionally and hormonally is wrong. And her husband doesn't give a fuck. Her husband's like, sleep it off. I don't know, go sit in the sunlight. I gotta work. Bye. Leaves her, which also doesn't help. Isolation, right? So she's in this room. She's laying in bed. Hours, days on end, day after day after day. No stimulation. She can't even read. She's so tired, but she's staring at this wallpaper. And the pattern starts to piss her off. She starts to get so mad because it's like, why would they fucking pick this? Probably this dumbass color and the pattern is shit. And it's also like not the way that they pasted it on the walls. It doesn't match up and whatever. she starts to see a figure in the wallpaper. And she's like, oh, it's a cage. It's a cage. And this figure, like, I'm looking at her as the sunlight, as the sunbeams hit the wallpaper and move across the, she sees a little figure escaping the wallpaper. She sees it outside. She sees it in the trees. And then, you know, in the morning, it's back in the wall. It becomes obsessed with this wallpaper and this figure that she's like, I have to capture it. I have to, and then I'll show my husband, of course, and then he'll understand that this picture, we, you know, we have to change the wallpaper because she's in there. She's in there. And then her husband, I mean, her condition, she deteriorates rather quickly. And the husband's like, oh, you're fine. See, you're getting better already. And she's like, yes, yes. Towards the end, it's, she spirals out of control. And I love how it ends. I love how it ends. And I'm not going to ruin it so you can read it. In this, I read a collection of short stories by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. And she was just like a feminist, you know, just your average like feminist that was ignored and not listened to. But her stories were very diverse and her stories tackled a lot of things. She has this story called, I wish I could remember, maybe like Mother or My Son or something like that. And it was the last story in this book. And it's about a woman who does her best. She's a single mom and she raises a son that ends up becoming like a terror, like a womanizer, an abuser. And the guilt and shame that the mother carries for the son's actions, isn't that poetic? The son gets a woman pregnant really young and then runs off, takes no responsibility for it, moves cities, doesn't give a forwarding address. It's just like, it's not my problem. How is that my problem? Well, the mother feels so responsible. She can't reach her son. So she dedicates her entire rest of her life to helping those young women who are vulnerable, who are exposed, who have no place to turn and who have been violated. Their innocence has been stolen from them. And now they have to carry this child to term. And the husband is not even a husband. The man is gone. And so she dedicates her life to this. And then there's a crazy twist at the end where she ends up running into her son again. And she's really, she has like a police badge. She's fucking cool. And she has dedicated her life to taking down men like her son. And it's a crazy twist at the end. So I really enjoyed those short stories. And then the last one I read was, oh my God, I read The Silent Patient. Okay, so there was this period of time, I guess we might, it's still happening. There was a period of time where when you would go into a bookstore, it literally would be Martyr, that book Martyr, James, Demon Copperfield, Demon Copperhead. What is David Copperfield, the magician, Demon Copperhead, The Housemaid, and The Silent Patient. These books were everywhere. And I'm sure they're fantastic books. And that one by the creator of Normal People, Sally Rooney, Intermezzo. That book was everywhere. Like, these are all the kind of like, oh, I guess I'll, you know, if you're not looking for something specific at a bookstore, that's what they put out in front because they're bestsellers. Well, I kept seeing The Silent Patient. And on Goodreads, I kept seeing people like raving about it. And I was like, I don't really read thrillers like that, but let me lock in because the hook of this book, if you've read it, please tell me what you thought in the comments. The hook of this book, a woman kills her husband, does not say a word, not through the police questioning, through the trial, through the sentencing, through being sentenced to an insane asylum. And this all happens in England somewhere in the modern day. She doesn't say a word. And that's interesting, right? Because it's kind of got this Silence of the Lambs thing here of like, who's the psychologist? Who is the psychotherapist that can help this woman or at least get the story, you know? And there's a selfish thing there of like, well, I just want to know why she did it. And so it takes you on this journey of the psychotherapist that gets a job purposefully at the asylum, the institution that she's in for the sole purpose of talking to Alicia. That's the name of the patient. And through all this, he crosses so many, you know, patient provider boundaries and like legal guidelines, I guess, to get to the bottom of it. She's calling family members. She's doing deep dives on her record, notes that other therapists have taken on her. She's talking to friends of friends and aunts and uncles. I mean, it just gets to a point where it's like, dude, is this really to help her? Or is this just because you're a nosy fuck? And it spirals out of control. Well, it gets to a point where she starts talking. Of course she starts talking. And the twist at the end, I will say I predicted it, okay? I had an inkling. But for people who don't, if you are looking for a simple, thrilling read, sure. I gave it 3.5 stars just because at the end I was like, and I'm going to be honest, this author, the way he wrote about, you know, people with mental, like, it felt very insensitive, and it also felt very like he just read a psychology book. Like, bro took psychology 101 and was like, I should write a book about this, which is fine. You can get inspiration from anywhere. But every single character, I'm not joking, every single character, the narrator would be like, and I can tell he's like that because of his childhood trauma. Every character. And look, say what you will. Childhood trauma doesn't have, like, it's not always relevant. Some people are just like that. You know what I mean? Like, you can have the best upbringing, you can be whatever, and something can still go wrong. So, yes, I understand. But every single character that was introduced, it was like, and he acts this way, and I can tell that he's like that because he was probably abused. And it's like, okay, I think that that's simplifying how complex trauma can be on the human mind, which I almost wish that he had gone more into depth in that. That's more interesting than just like, you act this way because of your childhood. Okay. Yes, generally. What else do you have? It just felt very simplistic. So for that reason, and there's a cheesy cliche twist at the end where the narrator kind of like looks out the window and smiles. And I was like, bruh, what are we in the office? Are you Jim from the office? I'm pissed off. So 3.5. I will say I finished it in like 2 days because I was, what the fuck? The chapters were really short, which I like. And it kept it moving and it kept introducing characters in a way that kept the story, you know, it propelled it. So those were the 4 books I read. Probably the standout was Jekyll and Hyde. I had been wanting to read that for a long time. I finally got to it. I have a whole list of books that I'm going to get to. I'm going to do Metamorphosis by Kafka next, just to say that I've read a Kafka. And it's also been on my TBR for forever. Then I'm going to read, finally, I'm going to start East of Eden. Then I'm going to read The Great Gatsby. We had to read The Great Gatsby in high school. I'm sure y'all had to as well. And I remember, like, basing my understanding of it off of the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I want to go back to basics. I want to read the text. And I want to picture it outside of the, like, I guess, visual world of Baz Luhrmann, because I love Baz Luhrmann, but like that is so, it's such a specific sensationalized telling of it. And I also think that the copy I have has discussion questions at the end. I'm trying to do those. I'm trying to find texts or versions of the text I want to read that have discussion questions at the end that I can journal. That keeps my mind engaged. It keeps me sharp. It keeps me thinking critically because, oh my God, I go through these periods of where I'm like, I'm actually doing good. I've not been on my phone that much. And then other times I'm in a slump right now where every single night I'm on TikTok for 3 hours. 3 hours. Just horizontal. I haven't moved my body in 3 hours. And I'm just, you have to get up. And in that vein, here's some channels I've been watching recently that are really good. They're really good. Okay. So sometimes I'm like, the phone is too much. Let me switch to the big screen and watch YouTube on my TV. Sure. This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. What's the most ridiculous subscription or hidden fee you've discovered you were paying for? Me personally, I had a phase about a year ago where I was really into those match sort games and I ended up paying a monthly fee, not for just one, but for multiple. Also, some streaming services I haven't looked at in 2 years. All that money just flushed down the drain. But then I found Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has the ability to cancel subscriptions within the app with a few taps, saving time and avoiding charges. It also offers automatic transaction categorization across accounts, plus customizable categories and tags to reveal spending patterns and add context. Maybe is there an item or experience you've been meaning to save up for? You might actually have the money, but it's being spent on stupid subscriptions. The app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give users a clear view of their whole financial picture. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/broskyreport. That's rocketmoney.com/broskyreport. 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 Thank you. I love Gazoo Studio. Guys, if you are looking for something that is, I guess, visually stimulating, doesn't require any brain power, and is like a relaxing, nice thing to do, go check out Gazoo Studio on YouTube. She does air dry clay. She does polymer clay. She does shrinky dinks. She does illustration. She does a whole bunch of stuff. And she makes these beautiful and so cute trinket boxes, fridge magnets, whatever. And it's a skill level that in my head, I'm like, I could do that if I tried hard enough. But then the other side of me is like, she's a master. She has completely mastered the art of air dry clay. Like it's like watching Botticelli. I am in complete awe. So I love her. Go check out Gazoo Studio. Another channel that I love, I think I've shouted her out before, Madeline Wu. She's my favorite ballerina on YouTube. Other than Luna Montana, I do love her. But Madeline Wu, Madeline's like, she has her own, she's got cool tattoos, which I know it's kind of taboo to have tattoos as a ballerina. She also has her own line of leotards and like activewear or like whatever. It's like dancewear. She's cool. I really like her. She used to dance for the Swedish Ballet, the Royal Swedish Ballet, I believe. And now she's in San Francisco. I don't know. She's so cool. I also have been loving, I'm back on my National Geographic shit. Lots of stuff about like Aztecs, Mayans, the Mayan astrological charts. Let me Google this. Mayan astrology is fucking tea. It is tea. I looked at my reading and I was like, like it's scary good. Really scary good. Oh my God, I'm also into tarot. You know, I've been scared of tarot. Okay. I got my dragon oracle cards. I pulled that shit. I was having a really tough night the other night to like level with you guys. I was really feeling heavy. And it was the first time I had been truly alone in a long time because I had been traveling for a month straight. Like I wasn't home for a month and I was visiting all these people, you know, like I'm young, I'm able, I will go to the people I love. I'm not going to make them come to me. California is really far from basically everything. And so I was traveling a lot and I was finally home. And I've been working all week. We've been doing royal court all week. And that it takes a lot of mental energy to lock into, you know, you're researching this person's whole life and you want to do good by the guest and you want to make them feel seen and heard and valued and listened to. While at the same time, as a host, and I think Conan does it best of like, and Amy Poehler, where you have to also be willing to catch them. You know, like you're steering the conversation, you're steering the ship, it's your show. But ultimately, I'm highlighting this person. So that balance, it just takes a lot of focus. And at the end of filming, I'm like, oh, I'm tired. And so I finally came home. I was alone. And I just like started to cry. Like I felt really heavy. And I was like, what in this, also in the vein of like female madness, it's like I can't explain why I'm feeling like this, but the feeling is real and it's tangible and it is a weight on my body. And I was like, what can I do? And I didn't want to call anyone because it wasn't that kind of like, I need to talk this out. It was just like, I had a feeling. And so I got my tarot cards because I got them from Etsy for Christmas. And I did a reading and I did my little book and I flipped through, you know, because there's so many different readings you can do. And I did mind, body, spirit, tea, by the way. And I just said, what do I need to hear? Like for my mind, for my body, and for my spirit. And the reading I got, bitch, how can you say this shit isn't real? And I just cut the deck and I just, you know, I did the thing where I like warmed up my hands and then I whatever tingled over the card and then I pulled it. It was crazy. All of them were reversed, which is scary. And then the reading was just exactly what I needed to hear. And it helped me make a decision about something that's been heavy on my heart. And yeah, it's going to be kind of incorporated into my business, yeah, and like my approach to how I do this, you know, and it was just great. And I feel lighter and it's amazing. Tarot really is like, if you treat it with the respect that it deserves, it can really be a functional tool in your life. And then after that, I made some decisions. I sent some emails, whatever. And I was like, okay, new era. And then I pulled an oracle card and the oracle card basically said, you're on the right path. Like, trust yourself to, even if it's hard, like, do it. And I was like, damn, why is it hard to do the right thing? You know, more often than not, it's hard to do the right thing. It's easy to be like, I'm lazy. I'm going to avoid this. This is complicated. You know, I just don't want to conflict. I don't really do well with confrontation. That's easy to shy away from it. What's hard is to tackle something and be like, I know this is the right thing to do. And I owe it to myself right now and my future self to set this right. So it was amazing. And I'm literally just like alone. And in that mindset, it's amazing what, if you open yourself up to the universe will send you a message. So 2026, guys, be open to when the universe speaks to you. I would say 2026, less screen time. That's a big one for me. I'm back on my bar method shit. I love bar method. It's the only workout, anything that's ever made me feel like, okay, I can do this. It makes me feel good. And it incorporates ballet, which I like. I'm back on that. I want to feel strong for 2026 in my body. I have never felt strong. And that is so much farther than the physicality of it. You know, I've felt strong in terms of like, I'm stubborn, or, you know, I'm a Taurus, like I'm bullheaded sometimes, but physically, and when you're in this mindset of, you know, decentering men, and I don't need a man and I've never needed a man. Like, I don't know why I bought into that propaganda so bad. Like, we all do. I don't need a man. I am strong and I can do everything that a man can do. And I'll actually probably do it better because there's more attention to detail and I care and I'm meticulous. So that is kind of where I'm at right now. Thank you guys for listening. Okay. This was kind of a reset. I will have more kind of like topical things to talk to you about next week. This was just kind of my, hey, I'm back and I'm alive. And I hope you guys are doing well and are taking care of yourselves. And remember to keep your chin up. It always gets better. Things can feel very heavy, but it will get better. And you have to believe that because it's true and things will always work out. So with that being said, I would like to plug a few things, if you don't mind. Royal Court is actually, we upload about once a week. And I'm taking requests for your favorite celebrities, because at this point, the show is getting bigger and bigger. Nothing's an impossibility. Like, I truly mean that. Nothing is impossible with this show. I have such plans and dreams for what the show is and what it's going to become. So go check it out if you haven't seen it. If you enjoy the Broski Report, but you hate the ads, I get it. We have a Patreon. We have a Patreon that's ad-free. And about once a month, I will post on there almost like a little Substack of some things I'm thinking of or whatever. And that's it. I want to manage expectations. There's no bonus episodes. There's no anything. It is literally just ad-free and then like an essay from me. And this is the first month we're kind of doing the, like, just a touch base with me. So that's exclusive. In the future, I really want to utilize it more of what are some topics that are on y'all's minds, or things that, you know, you think I would enjoy, whatever. I want the Patreon community to be built up a bit more. So just whatever, you know, join if you want. If you don't, no skin off my back. I love you guys the same. What I love about YouTube and about any of this is that it's not behind a paywall. You know, like, you can, everything I upload, I always want it to be accessible. This is the only thing I've ever put behind a paywall, and it was because it was requested. So anyway, if you want merch, go to broski.shop. We've got moo-moos, we've got classic Broski merch, and also, you know, the book club shit. Just kind of, you know, give me a second. Okay, I'm working on it. I'm gonna perfect it. So just give me a second. I want to plug the playlist. We have an official Broski Nation playlist and then an unofficial one that a loyal Broski Nation soldier uploads every song that I mention to that playlist. Also in that vein, here are my songs of the week. Rubber Band Man by Mumford & Sons, plus Hozier. I'm back on my Sam Fender shit, TV Dinner by Sam Fender. And then I've been loving Olivia Dean. I listen to Olivia Dean every fucking day, like literally every day. She's just my, it isn't working. I'm tired of waiting. It's so crazy. Haley. I love her. Who else have I been really bumping? You know, I love K1. I love that lesbian. I do. I love K1. I love her a lot. Those are kind of my songs of the week. I want to officially announce, okay, guys, get excited. I'm back on YouTube. We're uploading YouTube on the main channel, the main Brittany Broski channel. We are back to filming videos that will be coming out very, very soon in a few days. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And what a video it is, okay? We're going to be uploading probably once a month, maybe twice a month. And the videos are fun. We filmed a couple and they're fun. I'm so fucking back. So, with that being said, I love y'all too, goddamn death. I will see you next week. Be nice to each other, be good, and be safe. And I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.